All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you guys are alright, and I hope you guys have been enjoying Liam Gallagher on his UK tour, which has just finished as at the time I'm recording this. And yeah, it's been fantastic. That's what today's all about, really. We've got quite a few reviews from other people who have gone to see him. We've had Ian from Colombia, who saw him in Glasgow. We've got Ali, who saw him in Aberdeen, and Ryan Harvey, who saw him in Manchester. So we will be hearing from those guys in a bit. But also, I've been out and about this last week. I was up in Manchester on Tuesday of last week. Had a work thing up there, and so I spent the time wisely in that I noticed Primal Scream were playing. So I went to see Primal Scream, met up with Mary McGuigan, and also Susie, who is at the Songbird as well, a couple of other people. And so it was really good to see them. Yeah, and went round Burnage and did all those sort of things. And one of the things that I did was go to Sifters. So I interviewed Mr. Sifter. So we'll be hearing from Mr. Sifter in a bit. The main thing news-wise, really, obviously we've had Liam doing these gigs. That's pretty much the biggest thing that's been going on in his world. Also, the big announcement came that Liam's doing a Manchester gig next year, and it's Heaton Park in June. Now, I asked him about this online because I've heard mixed things about Heaton Park. I've never been, but a bunch of people saying that, like, it's really not a very good venue and it's a nightmare to get back to, and, you know, and that you can't get a drink, or, you know, there's all these sort of various things about it. So, yeah, there was quite a lot of negativity about the announcement of that Heaton Park gig. I think a lot of people wanted the Etihad or somewhere else. But, yeah, remains to be seen. I mean, it's still sold out, so, you know, it can't be that bad. Everyone's still desperate to go and has sold it out, so it'll be interesting to see. I wonder if the Etihad is, like, significantly more expensive, being owned by the Saudis, whether they just, you know, would have priced them out of it, and you can get it a lot cheaper at Heaton Park. I don't know. And in Noel news, Noel played at Bangkok. It's good to see him doing full sets again, having done much shortened sets on those U2 support shows he was doing. Nothing really different in the set from the ones he was doing earlier in the year, though. Oh, one thing I suppose that's happened in the last couple of weeks that I didn't mention last time is a Wandering Star, which I talked about last week, which as I really, really like. It has grown on me as well. I think I was quite critical of it last time. You know, sort of more the specifics, the song and the structure and that sort of stuff. Well, I've listened to it a load more and I kind of go back on that. I still stand by a couple of those points, but generally I think that's not a big deal. It is a really, really good song. He was also on later with Jules as well. And yeah, the version he did on that was absolutely fantastic. So really good song, and hopefully, you know, it'd be really great if that's sort of a sign of things to come, because that's my preference, is that more that sort of style than the Black Star Dancing, This Is The Place sort of style. So all good. Liam was also confirmed as playing Reading and Leeds, which is cool. Oh, and Transmit Festival, whereas Noel is announced a few, including Bristol Sounds on 24th of June. Michael Spencer Jones's exhibition on Oasis is open in London now. Quite a few people have got down there and said it's really good. I haven't got down there yet. I just haven't been in London. And also, I have messaged Michael. I've been in touch with Michael before. Had a couple of conversations with him, but never really got anything finalised about booking him in for an interview, and I have messaged him about this one as well, but he hasn't come back to me. So anyway, so if you know him, tell him to give me a shout and I'll happily pop down there and interview him and give him the free publicity. Another piece of news from the Liam shows was that a woman in Sheffield got quite severely burned with flares in the shows. And then Liam has then gone on to say, you know, basically stop chucking flares around. I mean, I was quite surprised to see them. And you do wonder how people get them into the places because, you know, I suppose people shove them down trousers or something. it is dangerous. And that's what can happen. So she ended up getting burnt. It's not very good at all. Robbie Williams challenged Liam to a boxing match on the Jonathan Ross show. I'm not going to include a clip from that, but that was obviously Robbie's got a crap Christmas album to sell, and that's a way to try and sell it. It's just slag off Liam Gallagher. Oh, and yeah, what I was going to say about the High Flying Birds Wandering Star video. What I was going to say about Wandering Star is that they released a video for it, which stars Stephen Graham, and he's absolutely brilliant. He's like a guy dressed up as Santa, and he's sort of helping a woman, and it's got a weird ambiguous ending where, you know, is he real, is he not, is he dead, you know, it's a very interesting one. So you should check that out. Yeah, there's been various other interviews and stuff. Noel did an interview on Beats One with Zane Lowe where he was, you know, chatting on about Oasis and again, as you'd expect. So anyway, but that's about it news-wise. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go over to my little trip to Burnage, where I went in to see Mr. Sifter.
Be Here Now, their eagerly awaited third album, hit the record shops today. At the lad's local store, Sifter's, business was booming. The shop is already a favourite with the band.
We were mentioned in Shaker Maker, it's gone back a bit now, actually, about 3 years ago. He's got a line in it. Mr. Sifter sold me songs when I was just 16. Now he stops at traffic lights, but only when they're green.
But what about the new album? Liam says it's about his people, but has he left them behind? At the lad's local pub, they weren't too impressed with a new single.
The whole where we came from, you know, the whole that they're on about, it's like referring to Burnies where we live. I mean, they are Burnies lads at the end of the day.
But musically, they think Oasis have done Burnage proud, especially the song Stand By Me.
I thought it was brilliant.
So have the boys turned their backs on Burnage. They've become idols to millions, sold countless records, and are friends with the Prime Minister. Liam recently said that Oasis are bigger than God. That may be open to contention, but as he suns it up in Saint-Tropez, and the people of Burnage shelter from the rain, he must be glad he doesn't have to be here now. Pocketell Burnage, 5 News.
All right, so I'm here with the Mr. Sifter. How are you doing?
How are you doing?
I'm all right, yeah, thanks.
Wonderful.
So it's so how long have you been here in this spot?
In this spot, 36 years.
36 years, wow.
It's and a what? Long time.
Yeah, and so was there a massive change from, you know, Shaker Maker coming out and then that Mr. Sifter sold me songs?
There was definitely a change. I wasn't sure about the massive, but. Okay. It was from then on I was signing autographs and doing selfies, which is certainly different, I suppose, isn't it? Yeah. You know? And the funny part about it is he's been at it ever since, it's 25 years.
Yeah.
And still doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And even with all the problems in the music industry and other record shops closing down, and you're still here and still going strong.
Yeah, well, I just do what I've always done. You know, I find a price people will pay and stick with it.
Yeah.
You know, it seems fairly logical to me, you know. And if they won't pay, I'll reduce the prices until they do pay.
Well, you don't want to give away the trade secret.
Well, that's not a secret. That's the basics, isn't it? Basics of the noble art of retailing.
And so what about the Oasis guys? So did they, were you aware of them coming in when they were kids and things?
Yeah, we knew more about it, of course, after Supersonic came out, this first single.
Yeah.
And we saw the... young Liam's face on the cover, you know, yeah. We thought, oh, that's the bloke that comes in here.
Oh, really?
And then, of course, from then on, we're glad we had something to chat about when he came in, you know.
Yeah. But was it more Liam that come in more than Noel then? Because Noel was the big music fan growing up.
Yeah, they both came in. I was a local record shop, you know.
Yeah.
And that was it, really. People always said, did they fight in your shop? But they're not joined at the hip. I mean, there was like 6 years between them. They didn't play together.
But I
found them fine, you know.
Yeah, fair enough. And then so what, it's just been a case of every now and then, do you get what, Japanese tourists? Have you got lots of different countries?
It's not every now and again. I mean, it's every day.
Every day.
Every day. Wow. There's been a lot of Italians around at the moment.
They're massive in Italy, actually. It's interesting. That's one of the countries, Italy, South Korea, Mexico, Argentina, for some reason.
All those, yes. And get tourists in from all those.
Yeah.
And I get a chap who I've no idea who he is, that rings me up on my birthday every year to wish me a happy birthday from Holland.
Well, I suppose he's got the number on the outside.
Well, he's been on one of the tours, you know, presumably, you know. I must have been a hit.
But I suppose that's it, you know, not only... Oh, what about the actual filming of the Shake and Make a video when they come in?
Oh, yeah, they cut me out.
Were you in it?
Yeah. It was outrageous, that. About half an hour of me shaking hands with Liam, he came in through the front door. Or the door, and walked up to the counter, and we shook hands, and there was a chappy filming over on the side there. When I came to my bit, the Mr. Sifter saw me songs, you know, I was waiting with bated breath, and then I was gone.
You weren't there?
I was in the cutting room floor. He must have decided I had a face for the cutting room floor.
But, I mean, still, that's not very nice of them, but still, to be, you know, one of the most famous record shops in the world, really.
I'm so grateful. I mean, you know, they asked me permission as well to go in, you know, because Coca-Cola were... taking umbrage.
Yeah.
So, you know, because it was based on like to teach the world to sing, you know, and New Seekers.
Yeah.
Nobody knows the New Seekers apart from me. You know, you've got to be a lot of an age.
The world to sing with me.
And of course, they had to find out, you know, alternative lyrics. Noel records that he brought him when he was at traffic lights outside there.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard him say that because he came in about 12 months ago with an American team of. He was back to his roots. He was CBS News.
Oh, really?
Crew came in and interviewed him in here. And he's actually said that in here.
Did he?
He wrote my verse outside there. Still not sure about that, to be honest.
The Gallagher brothers came out of Manchester, England, the gritty city George Orwell once called the belly and guts of the nation.
This is where we're from, you know, and it is extremely working class.
On an unseasonably lovely Manchester day,
I was kind of thinking you might get a bit of the Manchester experience, which is sideways rain.
Gallagher took us to the playing fields of his youth.
These were all bowling greens.
Yeah.
And we used to sit in there and take drugs and listen to music on little tiny shitty little tape recorders and do a bit of growing up.
His musical education started at Sifter's record store. Name checked in Noel's song Shaker Maker.
But yeah, I used to be in here all the time.
You picked up a guitar at 13, is that right?
Yeah, early teenager, yeah. It was nobody quite knows why the guitar was in the house, because I'm not from a musical family.
Right.
But once again, like with that, have you seen them over the years coming back in?
Yeah, not for a long time, apart from then when Noel was in. Then I say with his crew, you know, he's a nice chap, though, Noel. You know?
Yeah.
I've not seen Liam for ages, you know. Not since we used to give him handy hints on how to save his voice, you know.
Really?
That's why he never came in again.
Wonderful. All right, well, thank you very much for your time. And I do, you know, and here's to another 36 years.
Yeah, well, there'll be 107, I hope.
Mr. Sifter, thank you so much.
Cheers, thanks.
The only thing that's not on the original album is the verse with Coca-Cola in it. Luckily enough, we had an instrumental mix. Mm. And me and Liam had to go to Johnny Marr's studio in Manchester. And this is the fucking God's honest truth. Me and Liam were driving in the back of somebody's Cortina or something on the way to the studio. And Liam said, have you got a last verse? And I didn't have anything, not fucking one word did I have. And he said, and I said, no. And he said, well, what are we going to sing? We'll get that. I said, don't worry about it, man. You know, don't worry about it. And we passed Sifters and we stopped at the traffic lights outside. Just fucking sat in the back and wrote it in the head. Then Liam went into Johnny's studio, sung it, took about, I don't know, 10 minutes, and that was that. But it seems like I didn't spend much time writing any fucking lyrics at the time.
No.
It was described at the time that this is a piss take, surely, somebody said, in one of the magazines. Which, of course, it was.
Just the fact that the end, he sounds like he's going, shake along with me, shake along with Gem.
So, yeah, really lovely to chat to Mr. Sifter. I hope you enjoyed that. If you are in Burnage, you've got to go and see him. You know, just to say you've been there, the sign outside is exactly the same as you see in the Shaker Maker video. And, yeah, he's just a lovely old guy, as you heard. I mean, I was only chatting to him for, like, 6 minutes. I mean, after I stopped recording, I carried on chatting to him for about another 20 minutes or something, just random stuff about his life, nothing really band-specific. He's just a lovely guy. But what's really interesting about it is that the record shop itself is just a normal, old, very, very old-fashioned secondhand record shop selling, like, Andy Williams and Perry Como and, you know, just normal whatever old records he gets. I mean, basically, he doesn't buy in. I said, well, do you not stock, like, the Liam album, you know, and things like that? He goes, no, I don't even have like a supplier. You just buy secondhand records and CDs and tapes from people and then he sells them. You know, that's how he does it. So he doesn't get the new stuff in at all. I was thinking, really, he should have memorabilia up and, you know, signed Oasis records and signed stuff. And you could make a fortune because he is, you know, he gets all these visitors all the time who are really into the Oasis stuff. I mean, I said, like, oh, I'll buy something from you just to, you know, just because I felt a bit cheeky, really, doing an interview without buying anything. And so I bought, like, a CD, Be Here Now. But, you know, you think he's got the opportunity there to really make it much more of a, like, a little tourist attraction. But he doesn't. It's just the same sort of old school record shop it's always been. And in a way, you know what? I really like that. You know, there's no, you can't buy like a, you know, an organic gluten-free coffee. You know what I mean? There's no sort of hipster trappings to this place. It is exactly what you would expect it to be. An old-fashioned secondhand record shop that's been there for 36 years. So, yeah. So long may continue. As I say, really, you know, yeah, you'd think they'd make it a bit more fancy and try and flog Oasis related merchandise and stuff, but no, it's exactly the same as it is, and fair play. I did then pop round to Peggy's house. I didn't knock on the door. I didn't even sort of get out and have a wander. I just drove past big fence built outside a few years ago, as we know. So I didn't, you know, so it's just nice to imagine, okay, well, that's where they grew up. That's the view they would have had from their bedroom window. That's how they would have walked down to Sifters and, you know, sort of drive past a chip shop and be like, oh, I wonder if that's the chip shop they used to go to. You know, that sort of thing. So, but anyway, so that was really cool. And, you know, and it's funny, as a Oasis fan for 25 years. I've never done that. Never actually done that. So, yeah, I was really, really pleased to get that done. So, yeah, then I headed into town and met up with a few people and went to, like, the Hacienda and the Boardwalk. You know, well, obviously neither of those places are there anymore, but at least the, you know, the plaques on the wall, you know, demonstrating that they were there a while ago. And, yeah, met with Mary McGuigan. I meant to record with Mary, but ended up just chatting away. And, you know, and sort of we were in this place called Lion's Den where there was a band playing upstairs as well, so the sound wasn't great. So yeah, but I do need to catch up with Mary again. She's got so many more stories about the early Oasis days, so we need to get those. So yeah, definitely want to pencil in for next year. And yeah, went to see Primal Scream, and the big thing there was that Primal Scream were absolutely brilliant, you know, as you'd expect. Last time I saw them was back in sort of the Exterminator tour, whenever that was, 2000-2001, and they were absolutely amazing. Manny and Kevin Shields were in the band at that time as well, and it was just an all-out kind of assault on the senses, playing mainly Exterminator stuff. But this time around is a little bit different. Manny's no longer there. They've got a young female bass player. Bobby Gillespie looks amazing. He's so thin. Yeah, unbelievable. The guy's almost 60 years old, and he just looked absolutely fantastic. You know, the crowd in there was fantastic. It was really rammed. How they managed to fit that many people in there, I don't know, because it was incredible. So busy. But anyway, the whole set was great. It was a little bit different to the last time, that Exterminator tour, because you've got such a mix of stuff, you know, from the more indie stuff to the Screamadelica sort of more dancey stuff, and then the Exterminator style, like that more aggressive, like harder dance stuff. So it was a real mixture of stuff. Really good, really enjoyable. But then from just the gig being very good, then they come back on for the encore and out comes Johnny Marr. And yeah, oh, it just kicked off. It was amazing. I'd been sort of chilling back a little bit, but then when Johnny Marr came on, it was just like, right, down the front. And yeah, I was within about, you know, 6 feet of Johnny Marr and Bobby Gillespie sharing a mic stand. Absolutely amazing. And they all just looked like they were absolutely loving it. So yeah, great gig, great show. Primal Scream, fantastic band. Still edgy and relevant and exciting. More so than most modern bands are, absolutely. And then just to get Johnny Marr on stage, you know, you couldn't necessarily hear what he was doing. It wasn't like it was really loud in the mix or whatever, but just to be there and just to see him in person was absolutely fantastic. So yeah, great stuff. Wonderful. Primal Scream. Johnny fucking Marr! Right, let's hear from a few more of you guys and your reviews of Liam. So first up, we have Ian from the tribute band Columbia.
Hi, James. It's Ian from Columbia. Just wanted to drop a bit of a... I'm not from Columbia. I'm in a band called Columbia, obviously. I just wanted to drop a review of Liam's show in Glasgow. Won't go too much into the set list and stuff, so I've just been listening to the 101 episode, and it's been pretty well covered on what he's been doing. But I wanted to talk as well about, like, Liam's band's getting a lot of stick. I think, to be fair, I think quite rightly so. Like, these guys have got, like, pretty much anybody that a lot of people that listen to this would be giving their left bollock to be playing in that band, and I think they're fucking letting him down, to be honest with you. I don't know if Liam seems to look to Jay Mellor as, I don't know if he sees him as being like his musical director or whatever it is, which is fair enough, but the guys just need to, I don't know, like, do the research better, or maybe Liam's like reined him in and said, no, just play it like you play the records. the whole, one of the best things about Oasis, what they were brilliant at, is reinventing the records to perform live, which is why they were such a draw when they for all the live shows, as well as like obviously the atmosphere and everything else. But the records and the live versions were so varied and so different through their career as well. From like some of the tunes from Off Definitely Maybe, some of the reworks that they went through, up to the later parts like Columbia, as a quite a good example. I just think it's a bit disappointing, and also I thought Liam was absolutely on fire. He was fantastic, and he kind of held it together a bit, because the sound in Glasgow was shit. So we got held up in a queue coming in, because the ticket situation at the Hydro, I mean, quite rightly, they're patting everybody down, they're checking everything, and like with what some of the stuff that's been going on in recent years, like you can fully understand it. So we got in, it took us like half an hour, got like literally bombed it down to the front as Fucking in the Bushes was playing, got to the front, and I was like pretty much in front of Liam, probably about four or five people back from the barrier, and all you could hear was bass and drums, and Liam couldn't distinguish or pick out guitars at all, or who was playing what, really, which I think's a bit weird. Like, it's the guitar band with three guitarists, and you couldn't really, like, could just about hear the guitars, which was really weird. But it was kicking off, it was really good atmosphere. Liam was on a good voice. I really like the female backing singers. I mean, let's face it, Noel's backing vocals are so high pitched anyway, on stuff like Rock and Roll Star, it's quite difficult to sing that. I think they need to, I'm not sure what the boy's name is that plays the bass, he's a shit hot bass player, and I mean they all look pretty cool. He was singing along, but you couldn't hear what he was fucking doing. He needs to be turned up. Either put a microphone in him and let us hear him, or just don't fucking bother. So I was a bit disappointed with the sound, but thought Liam was shit hot and the atmosphere was fantastic. It was kicking off in the middle. It was fucking great. I got offered out for about three fights. Just stood at the front because I went and stood in front of people. I don't know. I'm like 6'7", so people get a bit pissed off if I stand in front of them at a gig. And there's obviously one guy who'd been having a bit of a party supplement, I think, and he got a bit annoyed at me and started pushing me around. Anyway, so I had to clear off out of his way. So I went back out to the right side of the stage, which is where my pals were. I went there with Suey and Davey, Liam and Whitey, basically, in Stop the Clocks, who are another amazing Oasis tribute band up there, based in Scotland as well. So I went out there to stand with those guys, and the sound out there was better, but you couldn't hear Jay's guitar at all. So, and I will post this on Twitter so people can see my video, but like Cigarettes and Alcohol and Supersonic, Jay plays the riff. You couldn't hear the riff at the beginning of Supersonic, and then all of a sudden it comes in with the other lead guitar, and it's just like so. It's like fucking deafening. Like, all of a sudden it's just so weird. I don't know how they've not got it sorted, or maybe it's me. Maybe it's just me expecting too much. I don't know. Share your sweat coming off these fucking bad boys. Anyway, it was a top gig, but I think they've got big sound. I think they've got sound problems, and the guys that I was with, Siri and Davey, had been to Aberdeen the night before and said that Liam had been kicking off about his mic. He like smashed a mic, and he'd been shouting at the back of house guy who was doing the mix as well for on stage. And he was giving them a bit of grief as well in Glasgow, but it seemed like he was holding it back a bit. Maybe he was in better form, but he started with in-ear monitors, and as soon as he even said the first line of rock and roll started, it seemed to be out of his ears. So I don't know if he struggles a bit with in-ears. But yeah, it was a really good gig, but Liam made it, and they need to sort the band out, definitely. Anyway, congratulations on 100 episodes. Nice one, man. Hopefully see you again sometime. Can't wait for next time. There's like a Oasis pod meetup just in Ibiza or whatever it is, but I'll be there. Hopefully we can go and see Sean in New Zealand, because sounds like he's got a really comfy couch. All right, nice one.
Brilliant, thank you, Ian. Appreciate the honesty. You're not helping me with potentially getting Liam on by being that rude about his band, to be honest, but you know, hey, you're an Oasis tribute band, you know what it can sound like. That's exactly what I said last time. You know, when you've heard these tribute bands, you know how good they are. Liam could just hire a tribute band, you know, they would do it better than his band are doing. And yeah, I completely agree. I don't think the sound was that great. I don't think the band are that great. What is going on? Anyway, but overall, yeah, I'm pleased you enjoyed the gig, and yeah, absolutely fantastic. And yeah, it was that guy Sean in New Zealand, I think last episode said we can kip on his couch. So I'm holding you to that, Sean. Right, next up is Ali Stewart from Aberdeen.
Hi, James, Ali Stewart here. Just wanted to give you a quick review of my visit to see Liam Gallagher last week up at the new Press and Journal Arena, Aberdeen. Drove up, got a cheap hotel, a few beers before, freezing cold night, pouring my rain outside on the way in, didn't care, going to see Liam Gallagher. Unfortunately, the only teething issue with the new arena is you know, like a lot of venues, hopefully this is something they can fix, but the queues for the catering, the drinks, was absolutely ridiculous. So missed the majority of the DMAs, just got in for the last couple of their songs, plus all the build-up. Like others have said, I think the soundtrack before he comes on stage is spot on. It's obviously to the taste of those who are going to see a Liam Gallagher gig, let's be honest, and it builds up. And then I Am the Resurrection, just first proper big sing-along before Liam himself comes out. I don't think there's many better intros to the stage than what Oasis used to do, and now Liam is doing with the fucking In the Bushes intro, just those two big blasts of the drums and everyone goes nuts, but maybe not quite as nuts as in the past, because then the cameras start coming out, a bit of a bugbear on me, but what am I to say about it, because I do it myself a little bit now as well. Liam comes out, huge roar goes off, rock and roll star, and the moshing starts, certainly in the bit of the arena I was in. A lot of bounce for that one. Then it was sort of into the new material, solo material specifically, so Halo and then Shockwave. I think Shockwave was superb, actually. You know, really good bounce in the arena again, similar to Rock and Roll Star, I think, especially when the chorus comes in properly, which was excellent. You know, good to see that kind of reception for the new material as well as the old stuff. Similar set list to most other nights, just a couple of changes really. Paper Crown was great, actually. I hadn't really predicted that would be so good live, but yeah, everyone's singing along every word. I don't think, you know, one thing I felt throughout the gig actually was this solo material, not much difference between that and the Oasis stuff. You know, clearly the Oasis tracks, the majority of the ones he played are a bit heavier, so yeah, probably a bit more bouncing around towards the front, but terms of, you know, everyone just singing along to every word, it's, you know, whether it was Halo or Wall of Glass or Paper Crown, it was kind of the same reception. Just wanted to pick out a couple of my highlights, really. I know others have sort of gone through the set list, and I think we know roughly what that's looked like every night, but I thought Once was a particular standout, as well as One of Us, and then into Gone, which I think was the first time he'd done it on the UK arena tour so far. I think he possibly played that in Hull for the Unplugged, so that was a bit of a surprise. I wasn't actually expecting that, so you know, that went down really well. I'm gonna be gone. before those three songs, there was Stand By Me, which was a massive highlight. And I think, you know, like I think you yourself have said, when you kind of were into Oasis, Be Here Now was sort of at a peak of all that, you know, fully invested in it and just a huge fan. And I didn't ever think I would get the opportunity to hear songs from that album live. So for me, that was just a real treat. And I think it's one of those, you look in the Spotify sort of most played, most trending Oasis tracks, and Stand By Me is actually in there in the top five, which took me by surprise a little bit, but I think it's fair enough. It's a brilliant track and it's really stood the test of time. And yeah, that was definitely one of the highlights in Aberdeen on Thursday. Obviously seeing Bonehead on stage for these songs as well, you know, Gas Panic, I think he played on some of Liam's solo stuff, certainly all the Oasis tracks, so he was kind of coming in and out, and I think it definitely lifts the sound a little bit. I think the band, yeah, you could barely notice them really, they're just there performing a function, so to speak, but I don't think they massively add anything. But we're not there to see the guy on bass, we're there to see Liam Gallagher, so maybe that's the idea behind it. You'll have these guys more in the background because the focus is very much on Liam. Yeah, Gas Panic, another treat. I did see it live before, the first time I ever saw Oasis in 2000, but you know, that was brilliant. Really, really good. And then, yeah, just the same sort of thing towards the end. You know, you're struggling. I couldn't have sent this message like the other guy who reviewed Aberdeen at sort of 2-3 in the morning. My voice was gone by then. Just, you know, when you got Acquiesce, then Roar, that Supersonic, Champagne Supernova, then coming back out for the second encore, Cigarettes and Alcohol. Yeah, it's just a case of digest it, 'cause you can't really talk about it because your voice is gone. So, no, excellent night, I think. Far, far superior to me and my same pal went to see Noel in May, and I think Thursday night was, you know, a million miles better than that concert. I think it's just the energy that Liam gives that I don't think Noel can quite carry off with his sort of presence, and I guess the material he's producing just now. You know, some of it I do like and some of it not so much, but I think it was just great to see a guy, you know, let's not forget, Liam Gallagher's 47, and he's going to be 50 soon, which is frightening. And you know, he's still able to command an audience like that, and a real variety of ages in there. There's lots of people like myself, you know, mid to late 30s, and lived through it through the 90s and became super fans. But then you can see there's a younger generation. You know, true music stands the test of time, and it's no surprise that Oasis are doing that, and people are latching on to Liam's solo stuff. And I think we're looking at a guy who's on a peak just now. You know, voice is sounding great. Not always been the case in the past. He clearly is looking after himself. He put so much energy into it. I was quite near the front, and this is something, to be fair, I felt was the case when we went back to sort of the BDI days, where, you know, you can see him. You know, he's if you study him properly, he's very, very sort of tight and sort of energetic on stage. Hopefully that makes sense, but he's given it everything. You know, he might just, to some people, just be standing there, but there's real passion and you know, strain, if you like, and I think it's great. You know, the guy can produce that night in, night out at the moment, and long may that continue. And just let's make the most of the guy while we've got him, because yeah, it's a guy, like I say, approaching 50 years old, but he's having sort of a second peak of his career, I think. So yeah, really, really good night, and I think hopefully there'll be more dates next year, possibly. Might be some bigger gigs, which isn't my personal preference, but I think many times he's in Scotland in future, I think I would like to make the effort to go and see him. So that's my input for the podcast for the latest show in Aberdeen. And all the best on hitting your 100th episode. Great achievement. Well done. Cheers.
Cheers, Ali. Really, really great stuff. Some great points made there. Especially what you're saying about how much it means to people, you know, yeah, I really see that, I really felt that. And finally, we've got a rather epic one here. We wouldn't expect anything less from our good friend Ryan Harvey.
Now I'm digging the lights and shit like that, but I feel like I've been interrogated on fucking Mastermind. Turn the fuckers down, man.
See, is Ryan Harvey at the Harvey Boys with the review of Liam Gallagher at the Manchester Arena on November 20th, last night, 2019. Fairly normal day, school for the kids. Got everything ready and headed off to Manchester Arena at about 6. I was planning to get there in time for DMAs, which I know come on at 8. Got my dodgy parking space for £3, around literally 50 yards around the corner from the arena. Yourparkingspace.com or whatever. Took my eldest son, has lived 11 years of Gallagher music, so loved every minute. He actually went to, first gig I took him to was Knoll in Leeds in 2015. He was a little bit young, he was 8 then. So this is his kind of second Gallagher gig. When they initially went on sale, I tried to get three. I was going to take both of my elder boys, but I could only get one ticket on the day because obviously as soon as the tickets go live, it just goes nuts and you just can't get tickets. I managed to get one. So as usual, I got that just as a backup. But then a couple of weeks ago when the gig started, and then at the same time people started posting their resale tickets on Twicket and also Ticketmaster do resale. That was really good, actually. I just wanted to comment on that. I know you had a bad experience with a ticket factory. What is that? Is that an actual official thing or not? But I've heard of it before. I've never used it. But Twicket, I think, is C-Tickets' resale thing. But Ticketmaster just have resale. It's pretty good, actually. If you actually manage to get a ticket through Ticketmaster, which is the challenge in the first place, especially if it's when stuff goes live, you can just go in and click to resell. So I kept an eye on resale tickets coming up. A couple came up on the 100 blocks, so the first layer up, row C, so that was good. And face value, of course, so they force you to do it as face value. So I grabbed them straight away once I got an alert for them. Grabbed two, I think there were four on sale, grabbed two of those. And then immediately put my single ticket back up for sale. It sold pretty much within a couple of hours, which is great. So I get my face value back at least, not the fees, obviously. And the buyers pay the fees, the ones who are buying your ticket. But get the face value back so that without any hassle or effort, which is obviously back in the day, it was a lot of effort sometimes to resell your tickets. Even before the ID stuff, you still got the hassle at eBay or whatever. But so that was actually a really good experience. First time I've used the resale stuff, so I haven't actually needed to swap tickets or anything for quite a few years. So I was pleasantly surprised at that. And I know my sister also recommends that she basically now just waits, dead simple. And that allowed me to take my son with me as well instead of going on my own as Billy No Mates, which is kind of what's happened more so in the last years while I've had kids and things like that, just only able to get out by myself. So yeah, we headed over, parked up, picked up the tickets from box office within literally 60 seconds. It's great. And then went in, sat down for just to the end of the support set. Apologies, I didn't actually get who the first band was.
Post edit, The Illicits from Blackburn.
And they played Born Slippy, you know, lager at the end. And then, yeah, DMAs, who I'd, you know, seen online, especially the, you know, Share Believe cover that I think first alerted me to them. So they were, as JC, as you said, just quite low-key in the first half, and then it picked up when the second half they played their kind of more well-known hits, the End and Delete. When those came on, out came the Flares. I mean, how do these people get these things in the building, especially, you know, Manchester Arena. So let's go to this set list that Louise has just posted. Rock and roll start. So I will say now, Liam sounded great all the way through. Yeah, I don't know, in the arena, all the big sound and the noise, to me, I didn't notice any issues with his singing at all. Quite commendable, given this rigorous kind of arena gigs and the fairly lengthy set list he's doing and the big songs, Cigarettes and Alcohol. Absolutely perfect, so, you know, brilliant. And this is like going to an Oasis gig before. You're the closest you're going to get, obviously. Just brilliant. We were on the 100 block, so it was literally three rows up above the crowd, so above everybody's head. So it's a great vantage point, but away from the hustle and bustle. I think, JC, it might be time for you to just maybe get up on the seats a bit. You didn't sound like you were quite up anymore for standing in the hustle and bustle of the crowd, because I absolutely love it from a kind of safe distance, especially obviously with my son with us as well. It's obviously more ideal. And he's too young to go in the standing bit anyway. Rock and roll star, Brill, Big Sound with Bonehead, obviously, great to see him. Took me back to that Be Here Now tour, obviously, with Bonehead being there and Stand By Me, which comes later. I went to the G-Mex the night before the MTV one. I think there were two nights at the G-Mex. The one that was on MTV in 97, I went to the other night. Kind of took me back there, although Manchester Arena isn't the G-Mex. So yeah, Rock and Roll Star. Halo, we really like that one, so we're singing along on that. I know not a lot of people like it, but again, because it's new, we like that. Shockwave, again, great for a crowd. Stomper, Wall of Glass Now is a bit of a classic for a Liam fan, I guess. It's just probably the most played song, I guess, from over the last 2 or 3 years. Come Back to Me was a nice surprise. Morning Glories, back to Oasis days with that thing. Every time you see a clip on from the gigs on Twitter, it's always Morning. Every time you click on it, it's always Morning Glory. And I was like, ugh, Morning Glory, I don't rate that highly. I don't know why. But then in an arena or in a gig setting, you kind of remember why, because it's just that riff. Yeah, no problems hearing the riff this time. Sound is sorted out. All the way through, you could see Liam most of the time was jawing with George Akin with the sound guy, mostly this time saying down, yeah, put it down. I think maybe put his vocals down. A lot of tension on stage around the sound. You know, obviously I'm looking for it, or I'm noticing it more. Columbia, said this one's for the old farts. Bonehead back on stage with his Morning Glory Columbia. And then Stand By Me, which I was really looking forward to because, again, it hasn't been played for, 20 years. I love Stand By Me, and it didn't disappoint. That was my highlight. I love that. Highlight for the audience, really, because there must have been 100 people on the shoulders at the start of that. So it's obviously, you know, maybe a really popular one for Manchester. Enjoyed every second of that.
That on the microphone, man, seems like his dick's his shit. I knew. Right, this one's called Stand By Me.
That's my highlight. That was the thing that I remembered most from the night. Once is just so cool to sing along to. Obviously, Arena and Sway in the Arms. And oh, I remember. It's perfect. Why Me, Why Not, okay, Be Still. Yeah, that was all right, actually. Quite enjoyed that. I hadn't really noticed it so much on the record. For a quick, short song in the gig, it was great. Greedy Soul, he basically said, we're going to slow it down now and chill out, and he sort of implied that people are going to find it boring. So, and it was a bit, but actually it was an ideal kind of a break. So it was Greedy Soul, but really slowed down, and it's a bit of a weird song to do that with, I think. So I'm sure it's about Sara, isn't it? But that was actually a good break to give you the break for the final slog, because obviously everyone's been stood up interval almost, and then yeah, the river sort of brings it back up a bit more with Gene coming out on the toms. They didn't show him. They're showing that they've got all the videos going on the big screens and everything, and collages of everyone. They don't tend to show Gene much until I think the Gas Panic. You actually showed him. So Gene was doing toms on Gas Panic. He couldn't really hear it. I love Gas Panic. I don't know. It's a bit. Thing is, it's not quite as great as you think it's going to be from before. I don't know. It depends on who you are, I think. It's just maybe missing just Noel's umph as well. Or maybe the Oasis band umph. All of a sudden, Wonderwall and Thank You Very Much. So, yeah, great sing along.
Nice one. Thank you, Manchester. Right, so I want to dedicate this last song to me, man. She's coming out to see this. She's like, I ain't doing them smokings, man, that you do. There's no air conditioning in there. Bit of a diva. But she's come out tonight. But what a dedicated surrender. Nice one for coming out, listening to the tunes, and we'll see you in a bit.
Back on for the encore. Acquiesce, which is, I was one of the people, many people who replied to Liam when he, last year when he asked about songs to play. I said this exact thing about doing Acquiesce and the crowd doing the chorus. I think many people shared that opinion. Just great to hear it. I do agree, JC, that not that it didn't work. It wasn't as great as I thought it was going to be. I don't know why, but maybe that just means that it missing Noel on that is, it's just too much. It needs, we need each other kind of thing. So maybe to actually have the euphoric kind of sing-along that used to be, maybe it you can't substitute Noel on that. So that's my conclusion anyway.
On his next song, obviously our kid's still on the naughty step and he's like, being miserable and shit. It can't be asked for it. But I reckon you lot sound better anyway. The words are upstairs, so there's no fucking excuse. And this one's called Acquiesce.
I actually think having the backing singers turned up quite loud on that chorus instead of it being the crowd also doesn't help, because if I see my little bit of video I took, you can hear the backing singers singing, you can't hear the crowd singing. I know, JC, you said you think people can't sing it, or maybe they didn't know it. I don't know if that's the case, because everyone around me was singing it, but it's almost like the backing singers are drowning out the crowd. Yeah, I think they were assuming that maybe they needed to support it just in case the crowd didn't sing. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they did it without the backing singers, but I guess they won't now. Roll With It, I'm not a great fan of generally as a song, but in an arena setting, again, it just goes nuts. So yeah, very enjoyable. Did miss at the end the, Take Me Away bits that Noel used to do. Even they haven't got the backing singers doing that either. I don't think the crowd really did it. Again, couldn't really hear. Maybe they don't know that. Not everyone knows that kind of bit. So yeah, you kind of miss the Take Me Away at the end of that. Supersonic is okay. Again, I could do with Tony McCarroll on the drums there, I think, after this. Feels like more of something that could happen nowadays than before. And Champagne Supernova to finish. Great sing-along.
Right then, you fuckers, this is Defo the last song. I want to dedicate it to Gilead and Spinal Carpets 3 years ago. How many special people change? How many lives are living strange? When we know how we were getting high.
Off again, and then waiting for the Silly Billy's moment, and he came out and basically said no Silly Billy's in Manchester. So a lot of people started leaving around, but not huge masses of them. So probably people that don't sit on social media. So no Silly Billy's in Manchester. He said maybe some in Greater Manchester, which I didn't know whether he thought that was the people who were trying to get home. So cigarettes and alcohol just went off nuts. Just great, great having Burnett up there as well. And he doesn't really look much different, does he?
And then, as you said, Birmingham, Liam just stood there on stage with his hood up, just sort of taking it all in. Everyone kept sort of waiting just in case he, maybe there was a chance in Manchester he might have added another one, but what didn't happen. But he did stand there, and it was quite, and then he put him up on the big screen as well with a hood in, with his hood on. So it was just a big silhouette of Liam, which would have been quite a nice album shot. I did see a shot of it on Twitter. So overall,
loved it. Worth every penny and every minute. I'm going to see Lee and I'm not going to see an Oasis gig, but of course it feels like an Oasis gig, unlike Noel. So Noel's a different thing. I've kind of vowed I'm not going to go and see Noel in an arena anymore. We'll see what happens with that. I don't know what he's doing next. What else? So in the arena, yeah, when we were sat down with waiting for DMAs, then these four lads just kind of scaled down the bleachers, sat in the front row. I was like, okay. And then people came to get their seats and they realised that and they quickly vaulted the barrier. They could have done it with a bit more grace because they just sort of clattered and almost fell over, the four of them. They were all, yeah, they were teenagers, all dressed in the same black and black coat. They just vaulted the thing and disappeared off into the standing area, obviously. So presumably they had seated tickets and the arena security, not quick enough. They're not watching, but they didn't have enough people watching back into the seats. So, and then looks like a main security guy came out and had a word with the teenager who was standing watching DMAs, essentially, and told him to face the other way. You know, not that he probably would have been able to stop them anyway. And then, yeah, Liam.
We'll have a little chat. Like, listen, like, if you're going to be lighting those flares, be careful with them. Don't be launching them about and shit. I mean, you heard about a girl and that, not cool. Yeah.
But yeah, there were a few flares during that, so aqueous and various points in the middle, but yeah, not huge amounts. So yeah, they need to figure out how, I guess they can't detect them, or, you know, I guess they don't search people either, so yeah, it's obviously quite easy to get them in, which is not good. So I saw Liam last time at Nottingham, so this is the first time I've seen him in the Manchester Arena, that is. So I went to Nottingham. I believe Nottingham's next Tuesday. I could quite happily buy another ticket and go again. Probably won't, but I have been known to do that. But it's quite an addictive environment for a super fan. What else? There was some guy with a guitar and microphone set up, just singing thing like Morning Glory outside as you came out, and everyone was belting that out. Yeah, it seems didn't spot any trouble. I'm sure there was some, but yeah, in general, it felt quite a good atmosphere. And yeah, no, nothing as well. I had my son with me, so it's always a bit kind of, you know, got one eye on things going on around, but it was pretty much fine. Just as a side note, I hadn't noticed in the week or so before that they weren't playing Now That I've Found You on the tour. I'm not sure I'd checked your Birmingham, certainly wasn't. It wasn't until the following evening that I was like, oh, they didn't play it, because the whole week before we'd kind of been playing that at home. Love putting that one on, as I know JC does as well. So yeah, it just shows what a good time we're having that I didn't realise till 24 hours later that they hadn't played that one, which is the one I'd been looking forward to hearing the most. So. We were getting high, not necessarily stoned, but beautiful. Thank you very much, Manchester. Stay young, stay safe. I'll see you again, maybe next year. So on social media, there were some flyers. Apparently people got outside, I didn't see them. But just of Liam, the album cover, just saying Manchester, June next year. So people debating Eton Park or something. So we'll wait to hear about that. Possibly that explains why they might not have done two gigs in Manchester. At the Harvey Boys, see you next time.
No silly billies in Manchester. There may be a few in Greater Manchester, but not in Manchester. Right then, you fuckers, this one's called Cigarettes and Alcohol.
Cheers, Ryan, much appreciated. And as always, thank you for taking the time to actually edit in the song clips and stuff, because it saves me a lot of time, which is brilliant. So thank you very much, Ryan, and some really good points there. Not quite old enough to go for the seats yet. I have gone to seated gigs before and it's not me. I'd much rather be on the ground and at least involved and at least standing up. You've always got the option of charging into the middle if you want to for a little bit, but then step back and have a little bit of a rest. That's always my favourite option. But yeah, no, I agree. If I was taking one of my kids, I'd definitely be up in the seats because it's just too dangerous down on the floor for an Oasis gig with a child. Oh, the only other thing I was going to say about Liam's tour is it's all just finished now. That the second night of the O2 was yesterday, I think. And by the sounds of it, he was pretty rough. I think, you know, we always worry, especially when he had booked in so many gigs, one after the other. You know, can the voice cope? Can it withstand the battering? And yeah, by the sounds of it, it didn't. You know, he said it was a cold, but whether or not it's a cold mix, you know, whether or not just doing these shows in quick succession causes him to have these colds and things, I don't know. But yeah, apparently it was pretty rough, and he ended up dropping a few of the solo songs from the set and just focusing on the Oasis songs. But anyway, he's got a bit of a rest now. He's got some stuff in sort of New Zealand and Australia just before Christmas, and then it's into Europe, I think, from February next year. So, yeah, so well done, Liam. And, yeah, we will look forward to more gigs from both the Gallagher brothers next year. Right, that will just about do it for the Oasis podcast today. Special thanks to our patrons. You can become a patron and support the show at patreon.com/oasispod. We've had one new patron this week, which is Dan South. So thank you very much, Dan. Do follow on Twitter and Facebook. I'm at Oasis Podcast. I'm at Oasis Pod on Instagram. Email is oasispod@gmail.com. Please subscribe and review on iTunes. And also, please head over to YouTube and please subscribe over there. I've got, I think, about 260 subscribers on YouTube. I've chucked up a couple of videos up there. I've put up the Tony McCarroll live in Glasgow and the Brian Cannon interview. I'm going to put up some more of those, I think. I know a lot of people really love YouTube, so I'm just going to send up the just interviews with videos, and I had a couple of guys that put some videos together for me. So yeah, do please go and subscribe on there, press play. That really helps me out. I say we're up to 260. I think before you can actually start earning money on them, you've got to have 1,000 subscribers. So I'd love to get 1,000 subscribers, because you guys know I love to actually earn money from the podcast. That would be good. So yeah, so go and help me out. That'd be fantastic. Okay, I think that's us. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
Excited about Johnny Marr.
So,
I know you're already recording, aren't you?
Of course.
You are already recording. Yeah. So, you're getting excited about
so
Johnny
just Marr. To say, we've just gone to see Primal Scream, and like, so it's at like 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 all the way through, and Mary's enjoying it. Say hello to the listeners, Mary.
Hello. thankfully, there's no clip clopping.
No, no clip clopping right now. Yeah, but, and then.
Johnny fucking Marr!
Johnny fucking Marr comes back on for the encore. And we were like quite chilling, like quite near the, you know, to the side, for just enjoying the show, having a bit of a groove. Johnny fucking Marr comes on and Mary says, right, down the front.
Well, maybe. Maybe I did that. Maybe had there been small children near me, I would have thrown them over my shoulder to get to Johnny Marr, because I love him that much. What a legend! What a legend!
I mean, but
seriously, there is no better. No, there is nothing. No one better than Johnny Marr. There is nothing.
I mean, Bobby was pretty cool though. 57 years old.
Yeah, Johnny was cool. Johnny. Oh, did we go and see someone else? Yeah. Sorry, it was Johnny. It's all about Johnny.
Yeah, so we were a Johnny Marr gig, but it was just at the Primal Scream happened to play an hour and a half before he came on.
Oh yeah, it just happened.
Yeah, they were like his support band.
It just happened to
magical,
be.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, that we're recording Susie. Magical. We're recording Susie. This is Susie. Okay. How you doing?
That was truly magical.
Did you enjoy it?
Beyond words, that's restored my faith in rock and roll.
But what I...
He's a proper rock star, isn't he? Bobby Gillespie, he's a proper rock star.
This is Steve, by the way.
He's old school. He's old school.
He is.
Yeah. He's like...
He's like Jagger.
He's Jagger. He's definitely
what he's
Jagger.
Like. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what he's around, like.
Yeah. He's an old school rock star. He's a Jagger rock star. And he's awesome, but... Sorry. It's not Johnny Marr!
So I was just saying that we were pretty much at like 8 out of 10, 8 and a half, 9 out of 10. And then Johnny fucking Marr comes on and it's like,
and
boom!
Blew the doors
11
off.
Out of 10.
Oh, we're going right. Okay, this way apparently.
Johnny Marr comes in and blows the doors off.
It was ridiculous.
It was insane.
Do you think that's just it? It's like any time that anyone's in town, it's like, right, we've got to get Johnny Marr in. That's just how it
goes.
Well,
yeah, isn't that fair?
Goes. He will... Yeah, he's going to blow the fucking doors off.
Yeah, there was a massive surge in the crowd as soon as he stepped on stage. That was it. You were crushed at the front.
Because when I saw him here, it was a Tory party conference as well.
Oh, really?
Over the road. And he said, can you open the doors? And they opened the doors. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he started shouting, he's on about disability allowance, sunshine coaches and things. He said, we don't do that evil shit here. He said, this is Manchester. We don't trample on disabled here. We don't do that evil shit.
What a hero.